Religion on the Line, 2 hours of exploration into the world of spirituality, faith, hope, love, or the hot buttons of today. Talk about it now, 576-7710. And now, Religion on the Line.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line here at KCMO Radio, Talk Radio, 710 AM, 103.7 FM, and also we welcome in also KMAJ, 1440 AM. We are glad that you are allowing us to be part of your Sunday morning here in the heart of the country. And we hope that we are sensitive to that heart and will embrace all manner of conversations and topics and ideas about faith, spirituality, and all the rest. Do give us a call at 576-7710, 576-7710, here at Religion on the Line. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill, Minister Emeritus of Community Christian Church, along with
Bill Scholl with Archdiocese of Kansas City in Kansas, along with
We're almost there. We're having some technical difficulties, as they say, in some connections to Rabbi Michael Zedek, but he will be with us very, very shortly. So we've got a lot to talk about. We'll see what is on Michael's mind and heart these days, and we'll see if this we're having a few technical difficulties, but
yeah, by the way, like the cream in our Oreo cookie. We need to get Michael on.
Absolutely. So we are also encouraging you, if you want to get in on the conversation, we really, really would welcome that. And you call at 576-7710, 576-7710, and we'll be in conversation. There was a very interesting article, Bill, in the letters to the editor. It wasn't an article, but a letter that was part of Thursday's Kansas City Star, and basically assumed something about faith that is not so by the author. That is basically faith that has brought us to the brink of extinction, so the author said, and that this brink of extinction to which faith has brought us encourages believing without examination and is the permissive door to contradiction of truth and reality. And that's a very, very truncated view of faith and not very well informed, either by experience or by tradition. And anybody, any casual observer of religion would probably kind of twist their head a little bit and say, wait a minute, that's not really the case. So they say one major concern in challenging faith and destroying the comforting beliefs realized by it is this: what is going to replace it? I dare say nothing is ever going to replace faith. And by the way, it's not just, and faith challenges itself and not only yields and engages and is in conversation with those forces and faces that have problems with faith, but it has an internal dialogue about that as well, as you well know.
Right. I mean, The very definition of theology is faith seeking understanding.
And that's one of them. Yeah. It's not the only one, we would say. I like it, but that's not the only one.
Pope John Paul II wrote an encyclical called Faith and Reason, and he uses this analogy of reason and faith are both like wings of a bird. And the bird ascends when he uses both wings to fly, and so definitely the author's right that the faculty for human reason is important, but I think it's also important to examine the reason by itself, kind of falls within itself, kind of just starts staring at its own belly button and loses perspective. You can kind of get trapped in your own logical systems and fail to see reality. Did you ever read G.K. Chesterton's Orthodoxy?
No, but I know about
it. Yeah, it's his greatest work and a great work of just Christian reflection. But in that book on orthodoxy, Chesterton observes that insanity, you know, we often speak of people who are insane as having lost their mind. But the point he makes is when you think about it, insane people don't really haven't lost their reason. It's they've gotten lost into their reason. So they get caught up in their rational concept so much so that they can't see reality. You can't reason with an insane person is kind of where he examines. So if someone says, well, I think I'm Jesus. I'm Jesus. I'm the Messiah. And you say to him, well, how can you be the Messiah? No religion accepts you as the Messiah. Well, the real Messiah, no one really accepted him when he came. And so instead, we should reason with such a man, not so much from an appeal to logic, but rather an appeal to something higher, the transcendent.
Mm.
Anyway, I'm not doing it justice, but I think it's important to often rationalists, they want to trump. They want to treat reason as if, well, it supersedes faith and it's a superior to faith. And all that matters is the empirical. But that's how you get all kinds of bad things. So,
yeah.
Have you got Michael yet?
No, not quite. We're still working on that. We are going to be in conversation this morning about a number of topics, not the least of which is this. What do you do with pain and suffering? There's a great book by Scott Cairns, who used to be here in the middle of Missouri. He wrote a book called The End of Suffering. It is about that testy, unanswerable, thorny issue called theodicy, meaning how can we justify a good God in the midst of so much badness, in the face of evil and also pain. The End of Suffering, and by that he didn't mean to say suffering will absolutely go away, but what is the purpose? What is the meaning of suffering? What we're doing these days in many instances, and frequently in rural areas, is dealing with pain through opioids. And I'm just curious about how our listeners have engaged with that seeming epidemic, as they call it. So, hey, we've got Michael Zedek on the line. Is that right? Hello? And I think we do. I've been told we do.
I'm here.
There we go, Michael. We can finally hear you. Good morning.
Good morning, indeed.
Good morning. And Michael Zedek, all the way from Chicago, Rabbi Emeritus of Temple B'nai Yehuda.
Hey, you got all that right.
Hey, just because I'm away a couple of weeks doesn't mean I forget you. No.
Well, we've been thinking about you with lots of good thoughts.
Yeah, yeah. So, Michael, we've been chewing on a couple of topics, but we're wondering what's on your mind this morning.
Okay, give me a clue first as to what you're chewing.
Well, there was an article in the Kansas City Star that basically blasted faith and said that it had led the world to the brink of extinction. Basically had an understanding of faith as being dismissive of any kind of challenge to it, either within itself or from the outside, and that basically did not want to yield to the regimen of measuring up to truth, etc.
I assume this was on the op-ed page.
It was in the letters to the editor.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And, wow.
So I thought that was kind of a shallow view of faith, and that's not been my experience, nor is it, I think, even to the casual observer of religion, how faith has dealt with things. By the way, all of that is put in the context that this month is the 500th anniversary of the beginning of the Reformation and the nailing of the 95 Theses by Luther at the Wittenberg door that really did provide the premier historical example of faith challenging itself within the Christian tradition.
I know it's October. Was it Halloween?
Yeah, it was October the 31st, yep.
Okay. So, lo and behold, that'll be an interesting topic, too. What costume did Luther wear?
Yeah. I'm not sure they did that back then. I don't know.
I'm pretty confident that we know the answer to that one. But more than a little bit intriguing in terms of the letter, and I'll take refuge in something that I've said from time to time when we've had that kind of challenge, although I don't think quite so boldly stated in as simple a term, namely that people do terrible things to each other. They don't need religion to do it. I'll admit that it's not unusual for them to do it with a great deal more enthusiasm when they know they're doing it in God's name.
Yeah.
But there are other gods. There's lots of idolatries. Nationalism raises its ugly head even more than religion nowadays, I would think. But,
yeah.
That said, the topics that I would be delighted to throw onto the fire and manage to have the possibility, the prospect, the optimism of someone picking up the thread and saying, let's talk about that at a little bit greater depth as opposed to whatever they might want to talk about, which is also more than welcome.
Mm-hmm.
One is Halloween coming up, actually, and whether somebody has a tradition that is anti, doesn't think it's an appropriate observance, because I've certainly known some narrow views of religion that saw it as a pagan horror that must be avoided at all costs. On the other hand, there was this little item. It was a bad week for trick-or-treaters after creationists in Kentucky, I'm just quoting,
yeah.
After creationists in Kentucky began distributing fake $1 million bills to be given to kids on a Halloween. I guess they have to be fake because there aren't no such thing, right?
So a $1
bill. And then it says on the bill, have you ever lied, stolen, or used God's name in vain, the bill says. The penalty for your crimes against God is death and eternal hell. Or you can have the apple with the razors in it, I guess.
This is so, you know, there are people who are genuinely fearful of Halloween, meaning they believe that it's flirting with evil somehow. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm just curious, if we have a listener that really believes that, tell us how you get inside that thought.
Yeah.
Or how that thought gets inside of you.
Or, I live in a condominium, so the few and far between are the trick-or-treaters, but do people still trick-or-treat for UNICEF or any of that sort of thing? Do you know?
You know, I don't think that there's a lot of trunk-or-treat endeavors all around the town that are viewed as, it's really a sad commentary, that it's safer to do it in a parking lot at a church, and you're doing, you're getting some treats, but you're also doing good by raising canned goods or something like that, and also avoiding your neighbors in your neighborhood. So that's safer. I like it. Our neighborhood still has kids coming up and down, and then sometimes they will also even do trick-or-treating in the stores in Brookside.
Ah, yeah. Lovely. Yeah. So in the meantime, we're probably over for a break. Should we take it?
Yeah, we need to take a break. We'll be right back. Glad we finally connected, Michael. Thank you for your patience. We're going to be right back after these messages here at Religion on the Line.
Over the last few months, politics and a bipolar economic picture have been driving markets. Both of these stories, though, have taken the investor's eye off the ball. My name is Chris Butler with Butler Lands and Wagler and host of the radio show Capitalist Pigs. Investors should be looking at the extreme valuations we're seeing in both stocks and bonds. That means stocks and bonds both are relatively expensive. Why should this be a concern? Because markets rarely do well from periods of high valuations over the ensuing 10 years. But this is a great time to evaluate the risk you're taking with your investments. Do you have too much in stocks or too much in bonds? Now, what's your plan if either of these two markets fall or go nowhere for a lengthy period of time? Maybe we can help. Download our free report at investontrack.com and see how we use extreme diversification and other risk reduction tools to help navigate these markets in our all-weather growth portfolio. Again, go to investontrack.com and download our free report.
At our home, winter nights are complicated. Either I end up freezing.
Or I'm sweating.
Hi, I'm Missy Tannen.
And I'm Scott Tannen, founders of Bull & Branch, the world's most comfortable sheets.
And now, we've created the world's first luxury flannel bedding, available for a limited time at bullandbranch.com. Try them risk-free for 30 nights.
Go to bullandbranch.com today for $50 off your first set, plus free shipping with promo code SLEEP, spelled B-O-L-L and branch.com, promo code SLEEP.
Hey, this is Mark Comfort, owner of Cruise Holidays at Kansas City, inviting you to our 25th annual Vacation Extravaganza Seminar and Sale, Saturday, October 28th, from 9 until 3 at our Cruise Holidays office, Interstate 29, 72nd Street. It is the single best day to come learn and to come save. If you're ready to make a vacation decision, we will have 15 vacation representatives there from the Ocean Cruise Lines, the River Cruise Lines, and the all-inclusive land-based resorts, including a tour operator, Pleasant Holidays, that actually represents thousands of properties. Again, no better way to learn, no better way to save. Saturday, October 28th from 9 until 3. RSVP, please, at 816-505-1500. That's 505-1500.
If you're a baby boomer, we've designed a retirement show specifically for you. The Retirement Income Doctor, Mark Falter. Mark Falter is known as one of the top retirement minds in the country, and we've got him every Sunday morning at 9 and afternoon at 2.
Due to the weather, the Crossroads KC Beer Fest date has been moved to Saturday, October 28th. All tickets will be honored to taste over 70 craft flavors from 24 breweries. Only $28 includes tastings and live music. Join us for the new date on Saturday, October 28th. Details at Crossroads KC.
The myths about free trade fly around so fast that it's impossible for our debunking machines to keep up.
This is the Free Market Minute with Dr. Howard Wall.
Rather than debunking the many myths about free trade, let me give a rundown of what economics and history have shown to be true. Most importantly, free trade makes everyday Americans better off by giving us access to the best and lowest priced goods in the world. This allows the United States to focus on goods in which we're most competitive, thereby increasing productivity and wages. Also, about half of what we import is used domestically to produce other goods, so free trade means more economic growth and a higher standard of living. In short, free trade has been one of the main reasons the U.S. is as rich as it is, and will continue to be one unless we start believing the BS.
To learn more, go to newsdoneright.com. The Free Market Minute is a service of the Hammond Institute for Free Enterprise at Lindenwood University.
Kansas City's most stimulating talk.
There's absolutely no doubt in my mind.
Enough is enough is enough with this guy.
Kansas City's KCMO.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line here at KCMO Radio, 710 AM, 103.7 FM, KCMO Talk Radio. Also, KMAJ 1440. Welcome, Topeka. We're glad that we can be part of your Sunday morning, and thank you for allowing us that privilege. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill, Minister Emeritus of Community Christian Church, along with
Bill Scholl with the Archdiocese of Kansas City, Kansas, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda.
Michael, surely you've got more to put on the fire
more,
here.
I've got a few more that are possibilities. Yeah. Sure. This one is perplexing. Mississippi School District removed Harper Lee's To Kill a Mockingbird from its 8th grade curriculum because...
Oh, dang, you took one of mine. All right, go ahead.
Oh, okay. I'll give it back to you.
No, go ahead. Finish it up, yeah.
Okay. Well, they removed it from its 8th grade curriculum because, quote, it makes people uncomfortable. Things are going weird in education.
Well, then they're going to have to take the Bible out of everybody's hands.
Yeah, just the...
My goodness.
There was an editorial I read the other day calling the president, Robert Zimmer, the president of the University of Chicago, the best college president in the country. I have no idea whether that's the case or not, but the point of the article was that they refuse to kowtow to a univocal view of things, that the whole point of education is to push boundaries and to make us familiar with ideas that are not our own, that are potentially uncomfortable. You know, this is you may remember maybe a year or two ago, the dean of students sent out a letter to incoming freshmen that we don't have safe zones. Trigger warnings are not offered.
Yeah.
We're an educational institution. But
yeah.
That said, I'm kind of stunned. I could understand Catcher in the Rye, but my goodness, To Kill a Mockingbird?
Did you see that Aaron Sorkin is writing a play based on To Kill a Mockingbird, and it will debut on next December on Broadway?
No, and I did not see it.
Boy, that will be something. That'll be a hot ticket to get.
Yeah, he was
to.
The creator of The West Wing, right?
A Few Good Men, The American President, An American President, a bunch of other things.
Yeah. Well known for his capacity to put remarkable words in his characters' mouths. Some people think even too many words. That aside, my last one, actually I got two more. I'm going to just read this little paragraph. When the wife of a beloved teacher needed expensive medical care, his students rushed to help. Walter Erickson, 80, retired from teaching at a Minnesota high school in 1991, but has been a dedicated substitute ever since. After several students discovered that Erickson was saving up to pay for his wife's cataract surgery, they launched a GoFundMe page with the hope of raising $500. Within days, donations hit $13,905. Erickson says he was overwhelmed by the generosity of his students and the community. I know my wife will appreciate it very much. First reading, incredibly heartwarming, beautiful, amazing. Wouldn't you imagine that this man has impacted people's lives in such extraordinary ways? Retired from teaching in 91 and still that kind of response, right? Mm. And then I looked at it and said, why in the world are we, or how did we become a country where a woman needs major eye care surgery and we have to have a fundraiser in order for her to get it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially in the United States when we have so many resources. Yeah.
Yeah. Scary is an understatement. Me and I would hope that some way, whatever the argument about what's the right way to get it delivered to people, that we would all be motivated and/or ashamed of that sort of circumstance. My last one. This headline is Court calls memorial unconstitutional. It was an appellate court decision, federal, 2-1 split. By the way, all the judges were appointed by Democratic presidents. For those who decide that people only interpret the law according to their particular point of view politically as opposed to what they understand the law to be. It's a 100-year-old World War One memorial, a 2-1 decision. It's outside of Washington, D.C., in a small town in Maryland. And they said the memorial consists of a very large Celtic cross. And they talked about it as an unconstitutional breach of the separation of state and religion, and that... I'll quote one small thing here. Judge Stephanie Thacker, who wrote the majority opinion, analyzed the constitutional question by asking what a reasonable, objective observer would think when passing by the memorial. That observer, she concluded, would receive the cross as an endorsement of the Christian faith, noting its size. She also commented that the state has spent $200,000 maintaining the site, et cetera, et cetera. Mm. I think it's a fascinating question, not the least of the reasons being that this particular memorial is 100 years old. I mean, is there a statute of limitations on this sort of thing, you know?
Mm-hmm. You know, Michael, are you familiar with, I'm sure you're familiar with the Arch of Titus in Rome. I was reading an author was talking about it and saying, you know, the Arch of Titus, which is very iconic and in fact the Arch de Triomphe in Paris was modeled after it, many monuments, but originally was constructed to honor Titus's sacking and destruction of Jerusalem, you probably know this, I didn't, but the author said for many years the Jewish community in Rome, if you were a Jew and you intentionally walked under it, you'd be excommunicated. Anyway, let's talk more about that after the break.
Absolutely.
I'd be curious to pick your mind about that.
We'll be right back after these messages here at Religion on the Line, 576-7710, 576-7710. Give us a call.
A 100 years ago at the Battle of the Somme, Germany, England, and France had over 1 million casualties in 4 months during World War I.
This is the Free Market Minute with Dr. Rachel Duchon.
1 million casualties. It's hard to remember that most of those men were some woman's 18-year-old boy. Of course, it is a brave and noble thing to die for one's country, but let's be honest. Is that what we sent those boys to do? Or did the entire Western world get caught up in a sticky web of entangling alliances over an accidental assassination? No great ideas at stake, just death and killing, mustard gas and sickness and more death. Let us commemorate them by recalling the words of Thomas Jefferson: peace, commerce, and honest friendship with all nations, entangling alliances with none.
To learn more, go to newsdoneright.com. The Free Market Minute is a service of the Hammond Institute for Free Enterprise at Lindenwood University.
CBS News updates from deep in the heart of Texas. Hurricane Relief, an all-star concert featuring Alabama, the Gatlin Brothers, a surprise appearance from Lady Gaga, who also donated $1 million, five former presidents in attendance too, including Jimmy Carter, representing for Habitat for Humanity.
Habitat has agreed to build 6,000 houses in the devastated area.
Also there, former President Barack Obama.
As heartbreaking as the tragedies that took place here in Texas and in Florida, in Puerto Rico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands have been, what we've also seen is the spirit of America at its best.
The relief concert raising $31 million for hurricane victims in all those places. CBS News Update, I'm Jim Taylor.
KCTV Storm Track 5 forecast.
Winds have calmed down. We've got some cooler air in the area, and a lot of the wet weather that we saw late last night has moved on out. That means skies will continue to clear, and it's going to be a cooler day with highs only reaching the upper 60s. I'm KCTV 5 meteorologist Ron L. Williams.
Open enrollment for Medicare is October 15th through December 7th, and if you want to look at all your options, let one of our licensed, certified Medicare agents help you. Hello, this is Kerry Hall with Benefits by Design. And we'd be happy to help you find the right Medicare choice and the right plan to fit your needs and your budget. You can reach us by calling 913-385-2224. That's 913-385-2224 to look at all your Medicare Advantage options.
Despite what you've heard, the U.S. is still a manufacturing giant.
This is the Free Market Minute with Dr. Howard Wall.
You might have heard that American manufacturing is dying and that we don't produce much anymore. It's even been said that the U.S. is undergoing deindustrialization. If the death of American manufacturing has you worried, I have good news for you. It's a myth. U.S. manufacturing output has never been higher. The gross output of manufacturing industries is double that of any other sector and is where the vast majority of research and development is done. And manufacturing is highly connected to the rest of the economy, so it's indirectly responsible for a great deal of what goes on in other sectors, such as construction, transportation, utilities, and business services. While it's true that direct employment in manufacturing is much lower than it was decades ago, manufacturing remains a backbone of the U.S. economy.
To learn more, go to newsdoneright.com. The Free Market Minute is a service of the Hammond Institute for Free Enterprise at Lindenwood University.
Do you ever get tired of all the money in politics? I know I do.
This is the Free Market Minute with Dr. Howard Wall.
One of the reasons for all the money flowing into politics is cronyism. That is, because government has become increasingly intrusive into business decisions, market competition is being replaced with political competition. Cronyism means that political spending helps guide which regulations are put into place, which companies are allowed to participate, what wages must be paid, and ultimately, how much profit is to be made. Cronyism has become such an important profit source that investments in political activity and regulation now account for almost as much profit as does investment in physical capital. So if you want to get business out of politics, a good start would be to get politics out of business.
To learn more, go to newsdoneright.com. The Free Market Minute is a service of the Hammond Institute for Free Enterprise at Lindenwood University.
Lisa Fox with local news at the top and bottom of the hour from the KCMO Newsroom, weekday mornings, FM 103.7 and AM 710. Kansas City's most stimulating talk.
America is ours. We the people. We're the government. Shame on you.
It'll be really interesting to see what happens.
Kansas City's KCMO.
Good morning. You've got religion on the line here at KCMO Radio, 710 AM, 103.7 FM, Talk Radio, also KMAJ, 1440 AM. good morning. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill, Minister Emeritus of Community Christian Church, along with
Bill Scholl with the Archdiocese of Kansas City in Kansas, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda.
So anyway, we were talking about the memorial in Rome called the Arch of Titus, which was built, I think, by his the emperor that came after him to commemorate his
Was it Ptolemy? No. Titus, I used to know this stuff like cold.
To commemorate the destruction of Rome, and it's an iconic monument. In fact, many monuments are based on it. But what I learned recently is for many years, if you were a Jewish person that intentionally walked under the arch, I mean, if you did it by accident, okay, but if you intentionally walked under it, that act itself was enough to get you banished from the community. I mean, the Jews lived for a long time in protest of it. And this author was saying, you know, perhaps this is one way in which, you know, he was talking in terms of the Confederate monuments, but he was saying, you know, perhaps this is one way in which, you know, communities can live with, but live in dissent. And I think you're right, Michael. Is there a statute of limitation with regard to this Celtic cross? Because if we just say, well, we're going to destroy any monument that we find doesn't sit with our present age, well, how are we to remember previous ages? There's sort of a sanitizing or a purging of history. I mean, where does it stop?
Yeah, I think that it's not the destruction of the monument. Yeah. I think it's putting the monument in its proper place, like in a museum, or private ground. That'd be fine too. But this isn't like to erase. It is to show what we stand for as a nation, to reflect properly what a statue erected, and this is not the case in the one that you're talking about, Michael, but a statue to a Confederate general raised in 1971.
Yeah.
What purpose was that? Kind of show.
Yeah, that was sort of a.
You know, that we're not done here and in your face, forget civil rights.
Yeah.
Very inappropriate for the state to pay for that. And if you want to erect it in your front lawn, I suppose you can do that. That's your property. So you'll have to talk to your neighborhood association and see if they.
Yeah. But even in that situation, though, that was a period in history where there was a consensus. And when we say, well, let's get rid of that, we lose a part of our realization of ourselves. I mean, it could be an occasion for discussion of, well, why were we so in favor of Christianity at this time, or why was the state so in favor of the Confederacy at this time?
Was there no sensitivity to the fact that we're not all of the same ilk or same stripe or same tribe or same group or same religion? You know? But all of those are worthwhile conversations. Yeah. And in the meantime, lawyers bring suit and judges decide stuff. And we endlessly think that, my fear is we endlessly think that they need to do more than apply the law. That is to say, apply their own particular philosophies, perspectives, religious convictions, you know. Even I don't remember the name of the judge, but she was a university. I believe she's won appointment or is soon to be approved to the federal bench. She's a University of Notre Dame Law School professor, and there was a contretemps about how her Catholicism and the law would live together, since she's a serious about her religious commitment. Bravo for her, you know. And I think Bernie Sanders and Dianne Feinstein created a bit of a contretemps when they tried to question, and I think rather awkwardly, where is the line between what Catholic teachings may be and what the law may insist upon?
Mm.
Those are fair questions.
Yeah.
And then
for all of us.
On the other hand, you have the National Register of Historic Buildings, in which we say, as a society, if there's something special about a particular building, We should preserve that, even though maybe the owners of the building would say, well, we'd like to tear it down. In fact, there was that case in Washington where I guess a congregation bought a church, and it was, or they owned a church, and it was a style of architecture called Brutalism. And
what
they,
was it called? Brutalism.
Brutalism. Yeah.
For those who don't know, that's exposed concrete and
yes.
generally very heavy looking. If you've ever seen a picture of the FBI building, it's a classic example of what most folks nowadays find very unattractive.
So of course, at one time, I think what in the 70s or 60s, it was in vogue. But now many of those buildings are being torn down. So this one congregation, they owned a building, and without them doing it themselves or requesting, and without them even knowing, someone made a petition that it be added to the, I think, some architects association, because the architects want to keep these buildings around so they can show their students. So it wound up on the historic register. So when they tried to tear it down, they entered into a huge court fight. Because so you have that on the other hand, where society says, hey, there's certain edifices of historical importance that we need to preserve regardless of what the owners want to do. So you have that on the other side where society says there is some value to preserving our heritage. Our heritage, so that others can look at it and say, "Okay, this is a tangible, visible period of history."
Is that one still being adjudicated?
I just looked it up.
I think
it looks like they're able to tear it down. So without having read the whole story, I just found the headline: Washington's ugly church will be demolished to the delight of the Third Church of Christ Scientist congregation. So it looks like they did win that case.
Is it real modern looking?
Yeah.
Yeah, or blunt kind of looking.
It was built in 1971 at the height of the brutalist architectural movement.
Yeah, yeah. This
is a terrible joke. Why didn't they just pray to have it torn down?
Yeah. You know, or they could have done a prayer vigil where they walked around their own church like the walls of Jericho, you know.
576-7710 is the number to call. Do give us a call. By the way, Michael, do you know that there's a brand new Friedrich Buechner book out?
How's that happening?
I did not know. I was just searching online about something and discovered it. It is, you know, and it is this year, and it's not a compilation of things that that are from other books. They're parallel to other books, by the way. I must say that. But
you need to tell folks who Friedrich Buechner is.
Friedrich Buechner is, in some ways, our nation's C.S. Lewis. If you don't know who C.S. Lewis is, he was a famous writer in England, an Oxford Don, and who was an atheist who came to faith and became a great apologist for Christianity. Wrote a very, very powerful book that was influential for a couple of generations called Mere Christianity. Did talks on the radio, and those talks made it into that book. And wrote the Chronicles of Narnia, which are most famous, and that's how people really juvenile and almost like children's literature, but fantasy, was a great, great author. But became a great apologist for Christianity. And Buechner is the same way. He not only writes nonfiction, he not only does sermons, but he writes lots and lots of novels. But his most recent book is called The Remarkable Ordinary. Michael, I think you're going to love this book.
Mm-hmm.
How to Stop, Look, and Listen to Life. And so he talks about the arts.
He stole my book.
Now, he may have. He talks about the arts as ways, as portals through which to enter into the holy. So, for example, stopping is made possible by words. Paintings make possible the looking, and then music makes possible the listening for time. And so he's got all kinds of it's beautifully constructed. The whole book is worth the first essay by itself. So, but it's good, and I didn't know, but here it is. Frederick Meeker. So it is not as tightly edited, I must say that, as previous books. And it looks like some of these are essays that are transcriptions of public oral presentations. So just a fair warning, okay?
You got a deal.
Yeah.
I'm grateful for the reference and almost ready to make the order.
Okay. Hey, we're going to have to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages here at Religion on the Line.
Over the last few months, politics and a bipolar economic picture have been driving markets. Both of these stories, though, have taken the investor's eye off the ball. My name is Chris Butler with Butler Lands and Wagler and host of the radio show Capitalist Pigs. Investors should be looking at the extreme valuations we're seeing in both stocks and bonds. That means stocks and bonds both are relatively expensive. Why should this be a concern? Because markets rarely do well from periods of high valuations over the ensuing 10 years. But this is a great time to evaluate the risk you're taking with your investments. Do you have too much in stocks or too much in bonds? And what's your plan if either of these two markets fall or go nowhere for a lengthy period of time? Maybe we can help. Download our free report at investontrack.com and see how we use extreme diversification and other risk reduction tools to help navigate these markets in our all-weather growth portfolio. Again, go to investontrack.com and download our free report.
Is there a dependable way to be free from contagion? Turning to God with an understanding of His all power and goodness can provide a lasting basis for protection. Many people have found that yielding to God's power through prayer helps prevent the fears and mental images of disease that underlie contagion. Hear more about this on the next radio edition of the Christian Science Sentinel, Sunday morning at 8:30 on KCMO Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Mark Comfort, owner of Cruise Holidays of Kansas City, inviting you to our 25th annual Vacation Extravaganza Seminar and Sale, Saturday, October 28th, from 9 until 3 at our Cruise Holidays office, Interstate 29, 72nd Street. It is the single best day to come learn and to come save. If you're ready to make a vacation decision, we will have 15 vacation representatives there from the Ocean Cruise Lines, the River Cruise Lines, and the all-inclusive land-based resorts, including a tour operator, Pleasant Holidays, that actually represents thousands of properties. Again, no better way to learn, no better way to save. Saturday, October 28th from 9 until 3. RSVP, please, at 816-505-1500. That's 505-1500.
Better Horses Network is the premier broadcast channel for horses, ranching, and all things Western. Better Horses Network consists of people, brands, and professionals who strive to be at the top of their game in the world of horses and ranching. Broadcasting across America and the globe, when you want to target your message to those who love the world of ranching, the great outdoors, and all things equine, Better Horses Network exists for you. Welcome to Better Horses Network.
Geekscape with Jonathan London.
The reason I reached out to Tanuj was he's got two movies out this month with a diverse cast.
That's right.
I was like, got to get you on the show now. Because what you told me that day a few years ago in front of the Geekscape booth at Comic-Con was that you secretly had been listening to Geekscape.
I had a lot of nights where, you know, I couldn't sleep for whatever reason, dreaming of the next projects.
This will cure it.
Geekscape with Jonathan London at Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
At our home, winter nights are complicated. Either I end up freezing.
Or I'm sweating.
Hi, I'm Missy Tannen.
And I'm Scott Tannen, founders of Bull & Branch, the world's most comfortable sheets.
And now, we've created the world's first luxury flannel bedding, available for a limited time at bullandbranch.com. Try them risk-free for 30 nights.
Go to bullandbranch.com today for $50 off your first set, plus free shipping with promo code SLEEP. Spelled B-O-L-L and branch.com. Promo code SLEEP.
I'm John Trout, inviting you to join me on America in the Morning, your daily radio news magazine. Each morning, we bring you the top stories and latest breaking news headlines from our team of correspondents across the country. Catch sports highlights, your daily business update, the nation's weather, the Hollywood Minute, and Jim Bohannon's Offbeat and Jim's interview with top newsmakers. Start your day with America in the Morning.
Weekday mornings at 5 a.m. Kansas City's KCMO.
Stimulating talk on your smartphone, tablet, or mobile device with the KCMO Talk Radio app. A free download in the iTunes or Google Play stores.
Good morning. You got Religion on the Line here at KCMO Radio 710 AM 103.7 FM and also KMAJ 1440 AM. Welcome, and thank you for allowing us to be part of your Sunday morning. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill, Minister Emeritus of Community Christian Church, along with
Bill Scholl, Social Justice Consultant for the Archdiocese of Kansas City, Kansas, along with...
Oh!
Hey, Michael!
He's just grooving with the music.
Reading, yeah.
I got my good excuse. I was reading a biblical verse. Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus Temple B'nai Yehuda.
All right.
Wow, these guys sound very good. Sound very professional.
yeah, there you go.
All right. Bill, you have some topics to suggest.
Yeah, I do. Actually, right now, or yesterday, Pope Francis received participants in an international conference organized by the Pontifical Council, and the title is Catechesis and Persons with Disabilities, a Necessary Engagement in the Pastoral Life of the Church. And I'm really proud my colleague Tom Rakunas, who directs our Office for Special Needs at the Archdiocese, which is a relatively new office, is there right now. He's part of that conference. And the Pope addressed him yesterday, and along with the other participants, about disabilities and cultural engagement. And he said something I thought was very moving. I'll just read a quote. Still, at a cultural level, there are expressions that offend the dignity of the person and maintain a false concept of life. And then he goes on and he says, proof of this eugenic tendency to eliminate the unborn child that shows some form of imperfection. In fact, we all know many people who, even in their fragility and with great effort, have found the way to live a good life and richly meaningful life. On the other hand, we also know people who are apparently perfect, yet desperate. It is dangerously deceptive to think that we are invulnerable. As a girl I met on my recent trip to Colombia said, vulnerability is part of what it means to be human. So yeah, mic drop.
yeah.
And
very good.
And so the people with disabilities in their life, they're a reminder of that. And I think too, sometimes in America, we're afraid to show weakness, we're afraid to show vulnerability. And yet there was a TED talk recently where the speaker was an expert on vulnerability, but I loved what he had to say. I can't remember his name, but he said our vulnerabilities a reminder that we're all in this together, that, you know, we need each other. And so really powerful statement from the Pope. I got more. Today is World Mission Sunday, which is a Sunday that was declared by Pope Pius XI in 1926 as a day of prayer for missions. And every year, the news agency Fides, they put out a list of the world's Catholic population, or sort of a top 10 list. What would you say, I mean, if you had to guess, what would you say, what country in the world has the most Catholics? What would you guess?
Brazil.
You got it. Number
really?
One.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't know that. Brazil has 172 million Catholics, followed by Mexico, which is 110. The Philippines have 83. Coming in fourth is the United States. We have 72.3 million Catholics here in the United States, more than Italy, which is number five, 58 million Catholics. France, 48 million. Colombia, I didn't know they'd be in the top 10, 45 million. Spain, okay, they're number eight with 43 million. And then here's the surprise, the Democratic Republic of Congo
no
has
kidding.
43 million Catholics. In fact, they knocked Poland off the top 10 list. So the Democratic Republic of Congo has more Catholics now than the nation of Poland. And then number 10 is Argentina. And what's really interesting is they went on to say that in 1900, at the dawn of the 20th century, there were roughly 266 million Catholics in the world. Now, I mean, there's nearly a billion.
What year did they have 266?
1900. So about 100 years ago. Yeah, uh-huh. 100 years ago. And most of them were, of course, in Europe. So most of the – so and then the remainder was – so there were like 200 million in Europe 100 years ago. And then the rest were in Latin America at 53 million. Mm-hmm. So 100 years ago, the cultural and ethnic profile of the church was not terribly different than what it was during the Council of Trent in the 16th century. So the 20th century really witnessed a remarkable shift in the Catholic Church, at least, of the change of where Catholics are and how many. And there definitely is a trend towards the Southern Hemisphere. So I thought that was interesting. I guess on World Mission Sunday, you could say that Catholic missions to developing countries has been a success.
Bill?
And then, yeah.
Is it possible? I mean, I'm assuming that you may not know the answer to this question yet.
But that's a good assumption.
Is it possible to imagine how it happened that the Republic of the Congo has such an extraordinary number of its citizens who are Catholic? I mean, you know, you would not, that's clearly a function of missionary work and to begin.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering how that happened. Did it come with King Leopold or prior to? What, you know, it seems to me to be a fascinating query. Why there as opposed to somewhere else in Africa, Nigeria, for example?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I knew. I certainly think the charitable witness of the church would play a role, but it would be speculation. You know what? That's a great. I'm going to research that.
Here's another twist to put on it, Bill.
Yeah,
it's very interesting. Congo has more disciples of Christ in it than we have in the United States.
Interesting.
Than our whole denomination in the U.S. in the United States and Canada put together. There are more Disciples of Christ members in the Republic of Congo. And the interesting thing there to me is the practice of communion. We are those people, as one theologian critiqued us being, as the people obsessed with bread. And so we practice communion on a regular basis, as do Catholics.
Yes.
And it would be interesting to see if communion is a common thread that was very attractive to that part of Africa. Don't know if it was, but just...
I can definitively say there are more Jews in New York than in the Republic of the Congo. And it's because of bagels.
Yeah, I think so.
It's so hard to get a good bagel.
And Bill, do you have other topics?
Oh, just the one other thing. Soon in Washington, D.C., there's going to be a new museum. It's the Museum of the Bible. It's going to open next month just south of the mall. I think it's a 430,000 square foot museum built by the Hobby Lobby family, the Green family. So that's kind of exciting. And maybe
where on the mall will it be?
The south part.
South
of the
end.
Mall.
All right. We're going to be right back. We're going to not only pay some bills, we're going to listen to some news. You give us a call at 576-7710 here at Religion on the Line.
Coffee News, fun reading, community events, and every week, look for Little Coffee News Guy, hiding in the paper.
I love Coffee News.
Available free at your favorite restaurants and coffee shops. Find one near you at coffeenewskcmetro.com.
On your smartphone, tablet, or mobile device, with the KCMO Talk Radio app, a free download in the iTunes or Google Play stores.
I like your stories and your reporting.
Stimulating talk for Kansas City. KCMO.
You have the truth on your side.
MO.
And I love you.
Local, regional news and national news at the top and bottom of the hour on Kansas City's most stimulating talk, KCMO. FM 103.7 and AM 710.
Kansas City's most stimulating talk.
America is ours. We the people. We're the government. Shame on you.
It'll be really interesting to see what happens.
Kansas City's KCMO.
KCMO AM 710 Kansas City.
101.1 FM KCFX HD2 Harrisonville.
FM 103.7 K279 BI.